The other part is phenomenon, which is how we combine together to bring about unity. How we can recognize gifts in the body and then use those gifts to edify the body. The other part
We will be listening. We will be listening. Come to
Amen. God bless you. God bless you this afternoon. Good to be here. Certainly good to be thrown in the deep end. I just knew half an hour ago that I would be taking this subject, but I can certainly just be the I guess the administrator of this topic. I think the topic, you can give me the full topic for the day. Is it just the positional placing and the eagle anointing, yeah, is what we're going to speak about. And just this topic. And if there's any other maybe questions that you have from previous sessions, or maybe the one, yeah, topic of positional placing and the unity of the body, going on to perfection, transitioning from the face of a man to an eagle anointing. That's a long-winded topic. Okay. So it's a big topic, and I don't know if we're going to cover that within, what is it, an hour and a half? Oh, okay. An hour and a half, that's a long time. You can sit there and listen to me for an hour and a half. That's probably about the length of my preaching. Or, and Brother Adrian's going to be here just a little bit later, but maybe I can pose the question to you. What do you think that that whole topic? Now, let me read it again. Okay, so it's positionally placing. Then it says the unity, in the unity of the body, going on into perfection, transitioning from the face of a man to an eagle anointing. So I guess I'll pose the question. And we know, okay, for those of you who may not know or may not be familiar, we have come and transitioned. Obviously, there's anointing of the lion, there's anointing of the ox, there's anointing of the man. And now we're in a period of time, which is the anointing of flying eagle. And notice, I want you to notice the major differences between, you know, these four beasts that counter. And if we went read from Book of Revelation, we know that this is now speaking of the seals, and it's speaking also for the seals for the bride and for the Gentile bride, but also for the trumpets that are for the children of Israel. So anyone that's non-Jewish this morning or this afternoon, Gentile, so you would call the Gentile bride. I suppose the question I suppose I would ask maybe and pose to you, what does that mean to you, our positional placing? And as you're thinking of that, I'll just go to a scripture that we are familiar with. And we know that this book from, let's see, go from Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 1. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance unto dead works and of faith toward God, but of the doctrine of the baptism and laying of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this is the will we do, if God permits. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good work of word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to open shame. I want to just highlight to, some of the passage of scripture that I've read out. I want you to understand, here is Paul now speaking to the Hebrews, and now Jesus, whom they had crucified, he's saying he is the Messiah. This is the context of the scripture. And he is speaking about the Messiah who they have crucified, the one that was spoken of, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah had prophesied right from Moses, from Genesis right up, had been prophesying about this Messiah. And here is now Paul coming to the church and saying, leaving the principle of the doctrines of Christ. He's telling you, you know, everything, you know, you've learned now these principles that Christ has now taught us, leaving those principles, but now where are we going? We're going on unto perfection. And so I'm going to just pose the question out to you. What does your positional placing mean to you? So positional placing, unity in the body, going on into perfection, transitioning from the face of a man, which is the anointing under Martin Luther and John Wesley. John Wesley, you know, went out the mission field, coming to establish the churches, and now we're in the eagle anointing, in the eagle age. What does that mean to you? And if you've got questions around that, and so I am told just to make it interactive. So I'm going to either hand the mic or just sit down and just listen to some of your thoughts. What do you think that that topic means? And if you've got questions about it, or if you've got a comment to make, then I invite you to make comments. So what I used to do, what I do with my youth, is we have this like soft spongy ball, and after they've said something, they usually just pass it to someone else. So we won't have the spongy ball, but you can just pass it to someone that you might feel in your heart, hey, say a few words. And if you just want to say your name and introduce yourself and tell us that you love the Lord, praise the Lord. But we'll give you an opportunity to maybe open up what your thoughts are on that.
Well, yeah, I think it's like passing the togo around, eh? And it does pass it around. Well, my thoughts on the positional pacing. My thoughts as a song leader, for starters. You know, you've got like your songs. You sing like your top 10, you know, and you stick to those things. That's the intelligence of the man. That's what you learn. But then you got to listen to what the Lord's saying in the scriptures, in the word. That's the prophetic part. The prophetic part of what was going to be preached. So to me, when there's I'm hearing during the service, the pastor, whoever's preaching, certain thoughts come up for me, you know, and that's according to my position in the body. You know, let's say for instance, brother played as we gather. You know, that's what we're doing now is we're gathering in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And because it creates an atmosphere, as a song leader, we can hear the songs and know that we can walk in it. So to me, a positional placing is, for me, is creating an atmosphere. You know, that's that. I've had the mechanics because I know, I don't know if you fellas even knew my brother Cyril. He was one of my governors, one of my tutors, you know, how to bring the songs, because he would just get up there and sing because he could sing. You know, and he brought me through the ranks of, like he said, when you start a song service, you start off with something slow, solemn. You know, it could be like, obviously, like Pastor Me Not Know. Let's say How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace. You know, just an order of the service, how to go for it. You know, that's your mechanic. And then get into the faster songs. You know, have you been to Jesus? You know, have you been to Jesus and the power of the blood? And these sorts of things, you know. But then afterwards, you got to come into another part of the song service. Is like the song has to be a word-orientated song before the pastor or whoever's bringing the message comes out for the day. So in order to be on point with what the pastor was going to bring, you got to enter into yourself, into your prayer time. That's all your own training, you know, your own prayer, and you're getting yourself. Because I remember one of the brothers Cyril was saying to me, you might have had the hardest argument with your wife, but then you have to get up there and sing. You know, you have to put all that aside. You have to divorce yourself from that. You know, from that argument, because you don't want that pody, that woe to coming over on the pulpit, because it's just not right. You'll miss the mark by a mile. So, you know, that's another mechanical thing. So in order to come along with dynamics, the eagle of a man, you know, the first place is on your knees. You know, you get on your knees, and like you might have thoughts of what's coming in the message, then you search the songs for what was going to be brought, what's going to be preached. So to me, positional pacing as a song leader, that's what we have to do, or I have to do. You get the mechanics sorted, by then the Lord will bring the dynamics. You know, the large part of it is when I'm unsure of a song, another part of the body will start and know that that's the Lord moving amongst the congregation. So in all of that, it's quite an important part, But you also up there, you got a spot who's bringing in their burdens about a spirit, these sorts of things, you know? And if we've got people coming off the street, you have to create an atmosphere so they feel welcome, loved, you know, and saying, this is the place where the Lord dwells. Come, just come. Like the song says, come and die. You know? So, yeah, to me, that's a positional placing. And that's clear.
Awesome. Thank you, my brother. Maybe you can pass it over. I hope you don't mind. If you can choose a sister to pass it to. So sister, brother, sister, brother. Then we'd hear from everybody. That would be good. Praise the Lord.
But when prayers coming into a deeper relationship with the Lord, being led under that eagle anointing, but also positioning it's going on to the next of that word as well, and just, that's what I mean. It's leaving behind the milk, you could say, and turning into need of that word, and placing yourself in a place where he is everything. And positioning, I think, is doing his will and being really a living sacrifice for him.
Thank you. Amen. If you can introduce yourself as well. I mean, I've met so many people, I just remember names. And... Yeah. Your brother. Any takers?
Right, so for those who don't know me, I'm Brother Jess, and I fellowship here. And yeah, for me, I think positional placing is about us being positionally placed by those with discernment so that we're in the right role according to our giftings. And when that's happening, then we can come together as the body in unity. So that's my view on that part, and then looking at transitioning from the face of a man to the flying eagle, like, for example, I'm going to be speaking a message to the church, to the saints. I could take a theological view on scripture, or I could view things of what I've learned from my flesh, my carnal flesh, what's been going on in the church, and I could preach on something like that, where I'm now using that man anointing, where I can get myself out of the way and just be open to being used by the Lord. And then what will come through is what the Lord actually wants to come through, and that will have the deeper impact on the saints and the presence.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, I'm just being blown by. For me, positional placing is the reason the Lord has really dealt with me a lot recently in the last year or two about the healing control, and that to see from eternity to eternity, that's the eagle vision, that you came from God, you're going back to God, you are part of God, and now you're never out of his care. And I think when I started to realize that, then I realized it's him and Christ and us, the hope of glory. And I think that puts you in a position, like when you get the character of Christ, in a position for the spoken word to come forth as well. And so I really, that's what it means for me, just to realize that when you're the part of God.
Awesome. Interesting.
Very, very major in my brother's too. We were part of the bride. We went bride and went to with the staff and lived the life that we pitched for the
I think I hear some talk of two. The secret has been leading the sheep out of the sheep pipe and ready those sheep go. They go out into the highways and byways. These are five peaceful spheres of positional place in the highways and byways. Not defined, it's out on the road. And so that must be the peace. And what's that out on the road? Oh, it's going into town and leaving people on the street. And how do you fellowship with them? And anyway, that's my personal view of the physical placement. They're out of the peace. It ain't safe. I mean, the Lord's word is always there with you. That is your own safety. Oh, trust the fellowship you share with your brethren. Pretty important point, eh?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Some good comments and some good thoughts, actually. So this is entertaining. Coming from the man, from the testimony, through my brother, he knows the word of God. But one night he came to me as a Jesus, and I had to really listen because I had to respond, not of men, but of Father. And because I put over responding in the man's way, the man's way of thinking, and I could have been there too, that would make me there anymore. But I was quiet, I spoke the word of God, they calmed the situation. My brother then said, oh, just don't talk to a Christian, trust me. And I just said, you're welcome. Oh, I wait. And you can think, you're welcome. You look at it. Then, I just, you know, didn't make a decision on it. I went straight into prayer, worship, honoring the Father, told him my situation, told him about what happened. Because he is the judge, and you have to stay in a place of righteousness so that he can justify your situation. And a couple of days before I came here, he's like praying the Almighty God. So that, I think, is that the answer that everyone is looking for. God bless you. All praise to Jesus.
That's reality, isn't it? That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about positioning, place, going from, and we'll go, yeah, you don't want to hear my thoughts yet. Can we just throw it out to people?
God bless. I'm Chai, and I hope you're speaking on behalf of Sarah too. And I'm from Auckland. I suppose, yeah, that was a real mouthful there. But I suppose for me, you mentioned the man the lion and the ox and the man. I think that they're land based and the eagle is the only one that flies. So for me, if I relate it to myself, that is when you know and you know who I am in Christ and I'm a daughter of the living King. So when you have that in you, every situation to me, I don't downplay it, but I just know that, you know, like I've heard from my sister, that God's got my back. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, God, I know that there's as an eagle, I can say that I can look beyond what's eye level because I know my God has a bigger plan for me. So that for me, that's the eagle anointing, that I can go above the situation that's in front of me. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Blessings, Brother Mike. Positional placing, I think for me it would be what the word before the foundation of the world. Be just like the birds, different birds in the forest, they all got the tune to sing. They all complement one another. You know, I reckon it's got to do with gifts and callings too would be a part of it. And that's what we're really doing. Where the Lord best places us to be, whether it be a song here, or maybe even just one of the lazy fellowshipping with our people. Where the Lord has called you to serve this.
Brother, God bless you.
Everyone, I am not the only one. Okay. God bless you all. I think the joy is the most blessed thing that I ever had in my life. When God calls you, it has placed everything already in you for the journey. And that is even a walking with walk, trial and error, just knowing that God has predestinated you for this walk. And what I've discovered in this walk is that personal relationship with God is such a bonus. It is such a, it sort of gives you energy. Although a situation in child will come to get you down and things like that, just having Christ with you, personal relationship, and you have that earnest, sincere desire in for growth, social for growth. And then, what I've also discovered is that what is so important is sharing with God and sort of, you know, encouraging each other in this world. And then, the relationship with God, you are so serious of your growth itself, and you look where you come from, and the eagle anointing is involved. Because it sort of makes the rapture more real, the eagle anointing. And what a portion of poverty. How that just related to each other and thinking about the help we are to each other, familiar. And how it encourages us, just hearing of my brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, and it gives them a spiritual drive to move on with things of God.
Thank you,
Amen. God bless you. I was just looking at a scripture in Joshua chapter 2, where God speaks to Joshua coming out of captivity, and they've been on the mountain for 40 years. And brother Stuart read that scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, leaving the principles of the doctrine and moving on to perfection. Now, on that mountain that they were for 40 years, Brother Branham teach us that they were blessed. They had the pillar of fire. They had manna. They enjoyed all the supernatural blessings, but yet they were not positioned in the place. But yet they were outside of the promised land. They had to leave the mountain, leave the doctrines, leave those supernatural things, and to cross over, because it could not, their inheritance was not outside of Canaan. They had to cross over so that God could then positionally place them. What their mothers, when they gave birth, Brother Malcolm was saying this morning, that by calling out a name in their birth, that actually showed where their inheritance will be. So I believe this eagle anointing that's on God's people, we bypass justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the ultimate. That is the gateway for us to attain where we are going to be, where he's going to place us in the body, because it's all about placing us in the body. What is our calling and what we've been ordained to? So, yeah, before I preach, Brother Malcolm.
I just hand it over to you, my brother. I want to give the opportunity to give in the front of the room.
Got my beautiful family. I'm Raymond, and I'm from the Lighthouse. My thoughts about this is it's just been humble enough to just from my experience, I've been positionally placed in the church, but to me, I know that with God, because for me, I can't sing, and you know, like the brethren, I think they have something wrong with their ears, but you know, God placed me there for a reason, and I keep standing up to be that, because you know that's been spoken over my life, so I just want to come into fulfillment of that, and that eagle vision is just coming out of my own mind, and looking at it like, you can't see. But really, now I'm looking at it from the eagle vision, and I'm like, well, actually, I'm not just singing, you know, I'm worshiping to the one and only true God. So when that humbles me, and he's placed me in these positions to be able to do that. So I just try and just be that, all that I can be, because at the end of the day, he was everything. He's everything to me, and without him, I'd still be, you know, I'd still be not so much lost, but oh mate, not all there anyway. But I've always known that God was the ultimate, and you know, even in the world, I still knew him as a father, because that's the words he spoke over me in the world. So I sort of just went along in life, you know, knowing that God was my father, but still living that life. But it was weird, but in a way, God had placed me in the world as a son to be able to speak over, you know, all sorts of people that I've come across all in my life. Till now these days, where I am fully into it, And I have these people coming back to me and saying, "Well, brother, you know, like, what you spoke over me 20 years ago, you know, I'm actually standing in it right now." So you know, that's that seed, and that's positionally placing that seed. God placed it in them, and then He positionally placed me in a spot where I seen that, even in the world, I still seen that seed, and I got to help water it a little bit. So, you know, there was that positional placing and the eagle vision all in one, where I got to see it and then water it, because, you know, that's what God placed me there to do. So, yeah, me family.
Well, good afternoon. I've been sitting here all morning or something like this, wondering, oh no, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna say? Well, first of all, my name's Juan, okay? Nice to meet everybody, nice to be here. I actually really feel honored to be here. This could have been anywhere else in the world. My brother Nathaniel over here, he invited me to the meeting like a couple of months ago or something, like, nah man, I want to go hang out with this crowd over here. And when he come back and brought up after his meeting and all that, I was like, brother, I don't want to go back by this crowd, I'm coming with you, my man, because it feels like, you know, into the down the that way, not, you know. And well, before I met the brother, I was in somewhere where I don't want to be no more. I hit the street. It was like the best place to be, because that's where the humblest of the humblest people were. And when there was nowhere to go before the street, it was jail. I don't like jail anymore. It's not good to be. But Brother Nate, you know, he pulled me out of that jam. I thought there was nowhere to go. You know, just in the dark, like, oh, Lord, Lord, what now, what now, what now? And, well, my family will think I'm crazy being here. Where I come from, they'll be like, hey, me, what's this place? Well, anyway, yeah, so the seed's been planted in me, like, long, long time ago, I kind of, how does it go? Well, I grew up with my cousins. One of my cousins, his mum is Jehovah's Witness, okay? I listened to what they had to say. And my other cousin, he stayed next to the church. And I was always, so here I am today. I don't know where they are. Yes, thanks for listening to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bless you, my brother. Anyone else? Last words? And Brother Adrian prepares to get his slideshow up. Sorry?
Somebody want to say
something? God bless you, family. My name is Thor. I'm at a website fellowship. That's my own view for this topic. A really blessing for me listening on the convention. This is my own view on the nature of self-respect on how you live a life. Everyone have a different calling. We have different gifts. But if God put us to be a teacher, we have to follow what we're calling. We have to use wisely. We do not overprotect any other position in the church. If you're calling is a strong leader, you have to stay at if you're going to be an evangelist, you have to say, this is the problem of today, how people they react, and how people eat, not eat it wisely, of course, also, and persisting and then put them on persisting in the game.
I just thought the topic's so exciting that I wanted to just put a little bit in. So I'm just thinking about the anointing, eh? One of the sisters said it's not earthbound. And if you have a look in Revelation, eh, they every unclean bird. Amen. So in the journey of where we are, we're sitting in the eagle age. Like I said, every anointing had its time and season. So can we get in the rapture without the eagle anointing? Amen. That's the question to ask. Can you get in the rapture without the eagle anointing? Because it's going to take a rapture to prove who the bride is. Amen. So we've got to come. That's the importance of coming out of our man age, entering into the eagle age. So, and there's a part where John got told to seal up the book. Amen. There was an unwritten part. The unwritten part is the mystery which the prophet unfolded. But he also said, I haven't got time to say all this yet. Amen. So there's the unwritten word. So we move from theology to the unwritten word, which is the word inside of us. Amen. So that's the eagle anointing age. Amen. We can read the theology, but we can't move away from the foundation that our brother Freddie said. I think it's very, very important because that's the supernatural element that gives us access to the supernatural part of the family life. Because if you have a look at what Brother Freddie was using, was actually the fundamental foundation, literally holding to those things that brought the promises, amen, within his family. So we never can move away from that, no matter how far we go. And that is the antidote to everything that we're coming against. Amen. Because the bride, how do you know where we are in the time of life? You look at the bride and where she is. Amen. So that's it.
Oh, praise the Lord. I think we'll just close off. Oh, I can hand it to Brother Adrian, but before I do, you know, there was so many things that were said here. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, just touch of revelation, but just to touch again on some of what Brother Dave just said, and also, you know, Brother Taor, and a few of the sisters said it as well, and my precious brother in the back. And I think this is the question, you know, because the brother said that my position is what I want before the foundation of the world. I want you to think about that. Like, really, just take that in. Because think about it. What is my position before the foundation of the world? Just think, if you can just grasp that. Trust me, this revelation, if you can just grasp that revelation, if I know what I was before the foundation and who I should be right now, the enemy will tell you what you're not. And it'll tell you what you should be, but you know who you are. And the preaching of the word does that, and I will preach. Okay, so I'm just going to go on in scripture, and I'll hand it to Brother Adrian. But it's the great mystery of Ephesians 5. Okay, now, we call it whatever you want to call it, the capstone, that, you know, this is the to me, right? Because there's many mysteries, but the mysteries are all unfolded, and were sealed, that were told to be sealed, but now the book is open. We have an open book before. But I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5. You can go back and read it. Most of the husbands and wives know the scripture because this is speaking now of a relationship, right? And so I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. But he says, in verse 27 of Ephesians 5, it says that he might present to himself, who? To himself. What? A glorious. Don't think about what you were yesterday, this morning, or what you had that disagreement with your wife on the way up here. That's not you. That's not the glorious church here. It's speaking now. It's prophetic. It's a word now.
being made manifest in the hour that you and I live in. It says here that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that he should be holy without blemish. I'm going to drop down to verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this pillar, a man shall leave his wife and be joined, and this shall be joined and be one flesh. But this is the part, and I highlight this, it says in verse 32, this is a great mystery. He goes on and says, but I speaking concerning Christ and who? The church, the bride of Jesus Christ. And I was going to share a testimony, but I'll just finish on one. But I got tells us, you know, this poem. The poem is about Christ. But a man who sees a dream and he sees footprints in the sand. So you know the story. There's two footprints in the sand. And then he notices one time, there's only one set of footprints, but this is in the times in his life that it was the most darkest. It was, it was of despair. And he saw only one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, you were walking with me when I was on this journey of life. But I noticed that I can only see one set of footprints when I'm my deepest, darkest despair. Now, in the poem, we find out that God says, no, when you were going through that trouble and that trial, I carried, that set of footprints was me carrying you through. That's what the poet said. But the Baron quotes this. But I'm speaking to you now because it's not just God carrying you through. It's Christ, the hope of glory, God above us, God with us. Where is God now? That foot set of footprints is Christ revealed in you and I today. Catch that great mystery. Hello, Brother Adrian. Got questions? Ask your pastor.
Well, praise the Lord, I didn't have to get dressed up. I'm sorry, I looked like I come out of the cow shed, but you know, it was a bit of a rush. You know, let's just all bow our heads and we'll just give this all to the Lord, shall we? Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just here to glorify you, Lord God. Our lives is to glorify you, Lord. It's not to make us anything great, Lord, but it's all in you. And we just commit these few words into your hands, Lord. I pray you have the preeminences, that you'll receive the glory and the word spoken, and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, we're just going to have a little bit of a look at about the links to adoption, because this is the adoption age, amen? You see, there's been adoption all the way through in the Bible, but this is the adoption age, because the Lord is connecting us back to that which Adam and his wife had in the Garden of Eden, but there's a difference. In the Garden of Eden, they did not have glorified bodies. But this is the age where we are transformed. And the way that you are transformed, brothers and sisters, is from the inside to the outside. And, you know, we like to perfume up the outside, look in the mirror and make sure the hair is all nice. But, you know, it's on the inside that is where that representation is. So we need to have a look at the links to adoption to know what the Lord is doing with every one of us right now. I've just been doing a session with the young ones. Man, I was put on the spot. You know, just, man, you fellas up here, just go and do it. But, you know, I was trying to get them to understand that God has uniquely made every one of you a special way. Is that right? He said to Jeremiah, he said, I made you to be a prophet before the foundation of the world. But, you know, when you look at Jeremiah, who was a major prophet, the Lord had he had a whole bunch of complexes about himself. He had this fear and he had this complex and here everything else, but he had a commission. And that commission was one that was so important that even Daniel would look back at what the words of that prophet said, because Daniel needed to know the time and the season by the words spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. So the Lord had to deal with his personality. And we come here sometimes full of, complexes about how we think we've been designed. You see? And if you don't are not settled in your heart that you've been designed the right way, you're going to start to try and look at somebody else and be like them. But as I said to the young people, you have been placed
Your gender was selected by God. Your culture was selected by God. Your nature, the time when you were born, your star sign was selected by God, because there's something about you that he wants to use for an expressed purpose. And the thing is, that I said to the young ones, that here's Brother Branham as a seven-year-old, and the angel comes to him and says to him, don't smoke, don't drink, don't defile your body. You have a work when you get older. But when was the older? When he was 20? No, it wasn't. Not 40, not 50, when he's 52. You see what I mean? And before he could get that commission to be the earthly angel that the heavenly angel came down to, he had to be purged of all his personality weaknesses. And you see, when the Lord is going to use you for a purpose, you have to go through rejection. That's why he could talk about the present stage of my ministry. You do not get placed until you are rejected. See, this is about character building, and character does not come without suffering. Is that right? Praise the Lord. And he said, and the prophet said, he says, if that character, should say rulership without character, is satanic. So the Lord must work on our natures to get us into such a submissive position. Now, you know, my testimony, you know, I had 30 years of total oppression, but the Lord was designing me for a purpose. And the Lord designs you for a purpose, because before the foundation of the world, he had to have, he orchestrated people to come your way. See what I mean? People have been destined by God to come your way, because you are the mercy seat of God by election. Now, do you know what that means, a mercy seat? Because whether the mercy seat was is wherever the word has been conceived. Each church age messenger was a mercy seat, and under those, the messenger of each church age were people that were going to come under the influence of the word of that age, and where the word is where the mercy seat is. Now, you've got to understand that within yourself, you have got two natures that has to be brought into a place where God can use you, because you've got the Lord is trying to bring out in you a where he can use you for a lion part and a lamb part. You understand now? So remember, when Jesus was here, he was the lion and he was the lamb. But in his bride, remember, Esther types you, married to the king, whereas the lion and the lamb, it's in the female part also. Because all that he is, he pours into the bride. The inside of you is a lion and a lamb. But you must have character building to know how to handle the lamb part and to handle the lion part. How to handle mercy and how to handle judgment. You see, because look, judgment comes into the house of the Lord. Where's the house of the Lord? Inside of you, man. So you understand, you've got such a responsibility, and by predestination, and you know, we just use that word flippantly sometimes, you know, predestination. God says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. You say you chose God. No, you didn't. God chose you. And if he chose you, he did not choose you to lose you. And I'm not trying to be poetic, you know. He does not choose you to lose you. And he says, you can go and do things even willfully wrong. He still can't change his mind, but you'll reap what you sow. You understand me now? I said to the young ones, tell me two people in the Bible that reap what they sow, that were elect of God. King David reaped what he sowed. Apostle Paul reaped what he sowed. And you will reap what you sow, but it does not take away the love of God, because he says the highest expression of divine love is elective love. God said, I chose you. It's got nothing to do with your merit. It's got nothing to do with your behavior. Nothing. He says, I choose you. I said, well, praise the Lord, man. So that means that I can do anything? Well, yes and no, depending. Yes, I can do everything as long as he's controlling me. See what I mean? So we've got to keep a balance in all of this. I don't even get to the subject. I'm standing here, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I said to the young ones just out there, says, now there's three levels that the Lord uses you, can use you in. There's the level of your humanity, the realm of revelation, and the realm of vision. Now, when we do things in our own energies, that's the realm of humanity. But when we come to church, what God is doing, he's giving us revelation after revelation after revelation, like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. So the preacher, the pastor, whoever's preaching, the Lord knows what to say to you, even if the man of the pulpit doesn't know why he's saying it. You see what I mean? So the Lord knows the way your nature is shaped. So what he does, he preaches something a certain way for each person. It may not be the same minister each time, but he knows your personality and how you can receive something. So he may say something hard this way, or maybe soft this way, or maybe with some humor to click in a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. But the jigsaw puzzle on its own, piece here, the piece there, and piece there, don't show you no picture. So why do you come to church? So that the picture can develop, so which turns into a vision. Now, you understand now, revelation after revelation is to develop a vision of it from eternity to eternity. And we are just here on a pilgrimage. I'll put this thing down, for goodness sake. We're on a pilgrimage. And he knows each part of the pilgrimage that you go through in a very special way. You can't be the clone of somebody else. Just like Isaiah, he was getting influenced by Uzziah. God had to come on the scene and cut off that influence. And maybe I want to go into that on Sunday in quite a major way. Because we don't know sometimes how we get influenced in our subconsciousness. But God comes along and he knows what part of you is that weak that needs to be really hammered or cut. And sometimes he'll do things in such a way you think, my, where's your love, Lord? It is his love. Amen. His love is corrective. Praise the Lord. And so you look at characters in the Bible, how that the Lord works on each one individually. You take, there's two characters in the Bible that the main ones that the Lord had to take them back to the eternal thought to settle them down. One was Jeremiah, and the other one was Job. And so Job is what? The resurrection book. After Nehemiah and Ezra, which was coming out of Babylon, then was the book of Esther, which is the marriage of the bride to the husband, and after that produces a resurrection. So we are in a rapture cycle. A shout has come. What to do? To reveal the word to you personally, but to what part of you? To your book of life? No, sir. To that lamb section inside of you. The attribute. You understand me now? That attribute, that part of you is eternal, is what God is eternal. Did you hear me now? That part is as eternal as God is eternal. So praise the Lord. So then I don't have to decorate myself in the mirror too much. Praise the Lord, because you're just passing through. We're on a pilgrimage for a purpose to get one thing that he wants us to take away, character. And that character is sovereign. Praise the Lord. Because you see, you can look at the book of Job, the resurrection book, and you can see Job walking with the Lord. He's got his burnt offerings and everything else like this. And you know, the Lord's real cool. The devil comes along and says, I can do this. And he said, the Lord's just standing and said, hey, you can do what you do with this fella, you know, but just don't take his life. So I have so much confidence in my attribute that is in that man. See what I mean? He has confidence in the attribute laying in you. Because remember when the Lord said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? He's taking him back to the theophany part of himself. And what this message has come to do is to, by a new birth, to connect you to your theophany, so that what is happening is that you're getting the supernatural inspiration. Where's it coming from? Your theophany. See, this message came to connect you to your reality. And that is why the prophet could go and preach those seals and then preach perfect faith. Well, You can have ups and downs in your life and still have perfect faith. Jesus went to Calvary. He went to all that at Calvary. He had perfect faith. So what's perfect faith? Knowing the scriptures that pertain to yourself. He could look in the scriptures and say, that's me, that's me, and that's me, and that's me. And this guy's going to do this to me, and this one's going to do that to me. So he's reading the scriptures about himself. He's reading about his life in the scriptures and knows what's coming. So Lord, the Lord had to come and break the seals over our lives so that we could do the same thing. And that's why God sent a prophet to show us these things that's coming upon the earth and know that everything's under control. And you can see in the scriptures, hey, that's me on Revelations 10, 8 to 11. Amen. That's me. I've eaten the book. I've eaten from the tree of life. If I eat from the tree of life, what happens? I'm going through a restoration back to Eden again. Praise the Lord. We have been plugged back in and he's flicking the switch. And suddenly what's happening, you're having a dawning of a new day. Now the sun comes up in the morning, doesn't go, poof, I'm here. It comes up slowly like that. And then a great shalom comes over us. Good morning. Do you know who you are? I'm not from New Zealand. I'm not from South Africa. I'm not from here. I come from heaven. I come from God and I'm going back to God. Does that mean to say that life's going to be cool every day? Yes, in your soul, but not your body will let you down because the prophet says you're living in a rubbish tin. Get used to it, man. It's a rubbish tin. It might be a beautiful rubbish tin for a while, but give it a few years, it gets landslides. See, it's got to have this whole world is going to be facing the fullness of the sixth seal. Praise the Lord, this has got to go too, because we've got another body already waiting for us. And this message is to change your atoms by a revelation of your perfect identity. Somebody asked me a question. It's hitting me between the eyes. Make sure it's not about where did you lose your car keys? Yes, sir. Sorry? You just passed around.
What defines a man?
What defines a man?
Defiles.
What defiles a man? What defiles any man is when he gets off the word. Defiling happens when you get off the word. Now, we're living in Laodicea, and this is where you've got to be real careful, brothers and sisters now, because you have a weak spot inside of you, and you've got to watch what? Oh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The devil will get you on one of those things, and when you strut around like a goose thinking that you've got no weak spots, you need to come and get that lying spirit cast out. See? Because every one of you has a weak spot, and you must keep that spot guarded. And every minister has to keep that spot guarded. And the thing is that the devil knows about where you are at. Understand now. And, you know, he can lure you through the eye gates, through the affection gates, all those kind of gates. He knows where to lure you. So you must keep those things guarded. And so we're living in this Laodicean age where the news media is firing out narratives all over the place. Look at this, you should be like this. You're not up to scratch because you're not like that celebrity and you're not like this and this and this. My, your shape's not too flash. Well, I'm going to have a good flash shape when it's in a glorified body. The fact is it might not look too flash now, but in that body, it's perfection. And by vision, I'm seeing that body. Praise the Lord. And so we are under influences. We're under pressures of the age. And the prophet says, it's almost like we're not suited to be living in this age. So what defiles a person when you get off the word, a defiling spirit wheedles its way into your thinking patterns. And what happens is that your subconscious starts to pick up signals. See? And, you know, the subconscious is a very mysterious thing because you don't know what you're picking up every day. Now, your mind is picking up thousands of images every single day. And, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you start dreaming dreams and your dreams are sorting out all this information. Man, some of it's not too flash either. But your subconscious is picking up inspiration. And this is where you've got to guard yourself. And I have to do it as a minister, majorly, because us ministers, we are targets, major targets. Because the devil knows if he can bring down those ministers, he can bring down the whole church. You understand me now? That because the ministry is like, it's almost like a wave offering. See, being waved over the people. Remember, Brother Branham was the first fruits of the to come to maturity. See, he was waved over an age to show the church that they would come to the same character building and maturity as that man. But in a church, you have got ministry, and they must be ahead of the people. They must be ahead of the people in understanding. And they are waved over the people so that the people can say, hey, I want more of you, Lord, because I see that the next level I've got to come to. That's why you pray for your pastor, you pray for your ministers, because they're under attack. And how do they get attacked? By people's opinions. See? That's why what you say about your pastor, whatever you say about your ministry, what happens with words is that spirits go out on words. See? And as you speak, you're either speaking by the Holy Ghost or you're speaking by another spirit, because spirits go out on words. Remember, in the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter was in Cornelius's house preaching the word, and the Holy Ghost went out on his words. The Logos went out on what he was speaking, and they were born again. In the same way you had in the Second World War, Hitler, he was speaking. And as he was speaking, spirits went out on his words and corrupted and seduced the whole nation. You understand now? You must watch the words. And I have always got to judge myself because I'm just a little bit on the humorous side and I say some things that I shouldn't say sometimes. I have to go and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for this and this and this. You know, even Brother Branham had to go to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have talked about that. I shouldn't have talked about that. You know, calling this one or Ricky and this one, that. And, you know, the Lord is watching our response to a situation. You know, it was one of the greatest things that happened to Brother Branham in his life. He's coming to his adoption. All his adoption is when God trusts you and he places you and he anoints you. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell, my daughter who I'm in well pleased to dwell in. Praise the Lord. So now he is going to be tested by the Lord before he comes to his adoption. And what is the Lord warns him? He says, Satan's laying a trap for you. You know the story now. Now the Lord is going to watch the decision of that man. He's watching the decision that you make as you grow in the Lord. Understand now? I've had to go through it. Everybody goes through it. He said, and so he comes into church some days later, and there's two crawling over each other, making love in the back seat. Now, here they are challenging the word of God by a spirit on them. And the Lord is now going to show this man where he's at. You say death, they die, they'll be carried out. Give them, say, life, and they will be given life. And he's standing there trembling because now, if he gets this wrong, he can't go into the next stage of his ministry because he's not using his gift appropriately, because an appropriate gift is one that expresses the word that has been fulfilled in this day, because we're under a son of man ministry, not a son of God ministry. And as part of the questions was, the man, are we in the man anointing or the eagle anointing? Well, I want to tell you, some people are in the message are in a man anointing. Amen? Which is Revelation chapter 3. There's a man anointing. When? When the Son of Man has been locked out. See? But he said to John, come up higher and to an eagle anointing. Because the eagle is the only one who can go against gravity. So by a shout, a voice, and a trumpet, God is breaking away the earthliness of ourselves. He's breaking away our book of life. You understand now? He's breaking the seals over our life to show us our eternal representation. So God had to come down with an open book, wave that book over you, say to you, eat up the book, and as you eat up the book, your book of life goes down and your new identity comes up. Say amen. So this is what the preaching of the word is and the end time message. It's not just another religion. It's breaking you out of yourself. You are coming back to your real self. See? You're coming back to yourself. You were trapped in the darkness by a natural birth, but God, who's rich in mercy, had an appointment with you for the seal to be broken over your life, and you can come back see yourself as God sees you. You understand me? See yourself as God sees you. And we've got to stop seeing ourselves as we see ourselves and say, Lord, I can see myself as you see me. That's what he wanted to do with Job. Job, where were you? Now, if you look at the last chapter of Job, Job chapter 42, he says, oh, my, now I see. Ah, now I see. This is what's happening to us when we come to church. I've heard thee by the hearing of my ears, of my book of life, but now I see. Now I see where I come from. Now he could say, I have perfect faith because I see who I am. I see clearly my identity. Jesus could look back and he had confidence no matter what happened in his life. He knew the scriptures pertaining to himself. And you can look in the book of Revelation. It says there was a voice of many waters. And who is the voice of many waters? You are the voice of many waters. And see, did not say voices of many waters. It says voice, singular, of many waters. So it is a woman so in contact with God that she is his voice. Praise the Lord. You are the voice of God when you've come to maturity, and he's bringing you to that stage right now by the preaching of the word. Until he can sit, so he can have confidence. Oh, I'm just going to finish off by just bringing out something so beautiful. Man, I tell you something. I don't know, man, this stuff's just flowing out of heaven at the moment. Oh, my. I have to forget that subject, maybe do it some other time. You know, Brother Branham got rebuked by the Lord in the third part of his ministry. He got rebuked, man. You know, he got under such rejection. He says, Lord, you know, that they're trying to make me God. They're trying to make me do this and this and this. I just want to go into the bush and be like the prophet Moses. And the Lord rebuked that man for that. And he said, you've got a higher calling than what Moses ever had. And he said to him, why do I always have to push you to do things? Oh, I'm waiting for an anointing. You're not actually meant to be doing that. You see, look, if you serve an apprenticeship, and understand now, you're under tutorage by the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Holy Ghost is the tutor. He's the teacher. When you're born again, you're not adopted. You go on and be trained to your positional placing. So now, with the prophet he had got, he was already an anointed, positionally placed, adopted son of God, and yet come under the influence. Oh, my goodness me. Now, Brother Branham, the Lord said to Brother Branham, why do I always have to push you like I'm pushing someone through a pipe? Where's your reward? He says, when I get you to do it, that's me. But I want you to make some decisions. And you do it. Now, if you're serving an apprenticeship, you always go back to the boss and say, hey, look, boss, how do I go and put this bolt in? Until you learn how to put a bolt in. How do I go and do some arc welding? Well, he teaches you how to screw bolts in. He teaches you how to do arc welding. He teaches you to do all these things. Now, if you are a fully qualified, you're no longer an apprentice, but you're fully qualified, what would the boss say if you came back to him and said, oh, how do I screw in a bolt? He says, wasn't you stupid or something? I've already taught you how to do it. So when you come to adoption, you don't always have to go back to the Lord and say, oh, what should I do, Lord? He says, I've already shown you what to do. Go and do it. So positional placing is when God trusts you, sends you out, and you make your choice. Because he knows he can trust you. See, when I go, I preach heaps of conventions around the place. I do not preach what I want to preach in that one sense. I've already got the inspiration from the Lord because I'm connected to him. So I'm still doing what I want to do because I'm connected to him. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and his wife, they weren't thinking their own thoughts. They were thinking God's thoughts. They only started to think their own thoughts after the fall. You see what I mean? But by the unveiling of the word, he's connecting us back in. So now we're starting to think his thoughts. And our thoughts go down, his thoughts come up. And so he's putting us into positions for you to make the choice of what to do. Because you're trained, you are adopted, you're positionally placed. You don't have to be like babies anymore. You know what to do. Praise the Lord. Are you happy with that? Good.
Just one more.
Help me, Jesus.
We got a bit of time for before the close really up to two. A little bit more time, but we had a question over here. So I thought,
okay, well, just help me to go through it.
Brother Adrian.
Yes.
You said earlier.
Yes.
When you started off that Adam was not in his glorified body.
That is correct.
Now, my question is, Brother Branham says, we're going back to Eden.
Correct.
Right. Now, in what body?
A glorified body.
Will we be? If you said he's not in his glorified body,
that Adam is correct.
Was. So we're going back to what Adam was.
We're going back further to what Adam had.
So what body?
A glorified body. A glorified body has no sexual organs or anything like that. Brother Branham says a woman has the shape of a woman and a man has the shape of a man, but there's no reproductive organs or anything like that. You are, and that body pulsates with the Spirit of God. So we're going actually back to Eden in relationship to God, but with a different body. So in the millennium, the elect has a glorified body, but the rest of the people do not have glorified, I should say the elect, and the 144,000 have glorified bodies, but there's those who do not have glorified bodies. Those are the ones you are to rule over. So rulership starts this side of the rapture. You're being trained here for there. Now, see, understand why this message came the way it did, to train you for that place. And so the bride, the elect, will not reproduce. She will have no desire for that because as you fly higher, you think, oh, man, it's just like an animal. But you know what I mean? As you fly higher, you can't help being the way that God put nature inside of you. You've got to be sensible about it. But there will be no features of sexual reproduction in that body for the elect of God. Because why? Redemption's over. For her, redemption's finished. You only needed those things on us for a reproduction and for us to be able to get character building. But in this hour, we are moving from carnality back to a connection with God that man has never seen before. You are in a transition. And I say, praise God, our bodies will be changed so completely. Is that all right? Happy? Amen. I'll just leave it. Do we finish now or what?
We can finish up.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll all pray, shall we? Okay. You know, I just wanted to say this. This is a serious time now. You know, I've been in the message for 43 years, and Brother Freddie's been in a lot longer than that. But we've all had to go through learning curves. I mean, some of you know what I was like once. But the fact of the matter, I'm trying to let the Lord balance me out as I get older. And you go through transitions and stages in your life. And so you've got to go and take your hands off and say, look, Lord, you know where I'm at. You know where I'm at more than what you yourself know where you're at. So you've got to let him touch those parts of your life that need touching and just let him do the work, okay? So let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, you're a mighty God. Thank you for the liberty, Lord. Went right off the subject, but Lord, you're in control. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless every heart here this evening, Lord God. And I don't know what's unfolding over the days in front, Lord. You know what it's all about. And we're just vessels, Lord, of honor. We're not vessels of dishonor. We're vessels of honor. And I pray, Lord God, that you just take us from glory to glory to glory. Lord, as you take us higher, because we're in the eagle age, we've been lifted out of the man anointing of our intellect, which is religion and all that, because we've heard that voice in Revelation 18 say, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues. And Lord, this book of life, this earthly things, Lord, it's all mystery Babylon, it's all contamination. But Lord, you've called us up higher because, Lord, you are making us historically non-existent by a marriage. Because when you marry us, you're marrying a virgin, so there's no more history attached to us because it's all under the blood and forgotten. I commit, Lord, the rest of the time into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So we've just got a little bit of time, so we've got some time for worship. Amen. But I was just thinking, yeah, that was beautiful. I was just thinking in the sense of the responsibility and the power that we have by the spoken word. What we can say out of our mouth, we think that it's quite powerful. And then having that responsibility as a bride of Christ, you know, to you being friends, you know, because how you react to one another, turn them to be something and both done. When you hold that and you hold the responsibility, when I put that revelation, I hold the responsibility, especially for my family. You don't know him, I find that. Hey, so even in the sucker supper, or even where God faced you, because this wasn't mine to face, but it's a responsibility to hold. So me holding that thought gives the lifeline to all those who are connected to you. Amen. And it's just coming into such an important age, like Adrian was talking about, it's coming to a serious age. So what comes out of his mouth will actually happen. Amen. We're coming into that age. So it's a real awakening time, this anointing. The fullness of the anointing of the spirit of the eagle comes with a responsibility and a characteristic of Christ. So we're going to come through time where what you speak is going to unfold. Amen. So it's quite a, and where did that come from before the foundation of the earth? How did you get caught before the previous foundation? Where your brother was speaking about. So that was a beautiful Brother Adrian and our other brother, Brother Stuart, he's not here, but that was just a whole reflection. And what a great opportunity that you can see where's the identity of Christ. You were individually, authentically made, fearfully made, marvelously made for a purpose. Now, your gender, your culture, everything that you need. Everything that you made of was specifically made for people. Amen. And if we can get a hold of it and understand exactly everything that was spoken about,
actually what everything is a inversion of who you really are. A distraction. Every challenge is a distraction. Because when we sit here, we can see where we are and who we are. So the only distraction we've got is when we look outside those doors. That's it, and face those challenges in that distraction. So just want to take the time, and I thought, you know, it'd be good to have a little bit of time because then you can have a little bit of fellowship together. About what was spoken today, well, actually the short time, the 7:00 clear. You know? So just digest it, talk about it, think about it. We might have two songs. As long as we've got time for two songs, we're going to pick up that
Lord, you are so faithful, Spirit, I want to be. Sing your praises. Spirit, I want to be. Upon me, Spirit, I feel strong. When you feel spoken on me. Song and I want to worship your praise. Thank you, Jesus. hearts. Lord, you are so faithful. That's where I want to be. Sing your praise and everything to me. So faithful, I want to be. Sing your praise and that's where I belong. Praise upon me. That's where I've been strong. Because when it's fallen upon me, you can't help me get along. Now I want to worship your name. We want to be. You mean everything to me. Yes, you do, Lord. Lord, you are so faithful. So I want to be. Sing your praise and you mean everything to me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are so faithful. It's where I want to be. Sing your praise and Lord, that's where I want to be. Sing your praise and that's where I want to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shine on me. So. Set free my soul. I'm straight each day I'll find that my soul is this peace, I know it's mine. It's everywhere. It's not stay. And my soul and spirit, my soul, soul.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, with a wish, Lord God, to lay down the prayer of the burden, Lord God. Lord, we heard the spoken word. Now, Lord, just come abide with us, Lord. Fellowship, Lord, throughout this time, Lord. Meditate, Lord God, what you've given by the grace and mercy, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, for the gifts, Lord, that you parted to us, Lord. You so much loved us, Lord. You gave us one another, Lord. And we come with the unity and faith to be a testimony of divine love, Lord God and God. So we ask you for precious Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.